Welcome to KUOW Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this episode, you don't have to have scored tickets to Hamilton to know that debate played a crucial role in U.S. history. When it comes to charting the course of a nation, there is no substitute. The same is true in planning for the future of cities like Seattle. So here's a query for a modern debate. Is Amazon, the behemoth internet retailer, good for Seattle? The first installment of a new KUOW live series, That's Debatable, addresses that question. While there is nuance in unpeeling the layers of argument and defense, pro and con, one side wins a debate. In this case, we polled the audience about where they stood on the proposition before and after the debate. The results may surprise you. KUOW's Ross Reynolds and Lisa Wang co-produced this first That's Debatable event at the SIFF Cinema Egyptian on March 7th. Here, Ross Reynolds introduces the team members and opens the debate.
Hi, I'm Ross Reynolds. I do community engagement at KUOW, and welcome to the first of what we hope will be many sessions of That's Debatable. My colleague Lisa Wang and I were inspired to do this program because of a great public radio show called Intelligence Squared. I really recommend you check out the podcast of that. Now, I often find from listening to that show and just from other experiences that a debate between smart, informed people is really a great way to learn about a topic, because even the best moderated interview or panel discussion, you have people talking past each other. But in this debate format, we're going to have one side challenged by the other, and we've got an incredible teams here this evening who are incredibly knowledgeable about this issue, and they will deepen your knowledge of the issue also. So this is what you'll be doing tonight. This debate will have a winner based on your votes. Here's how it's going to work. The proposition, Amazon is good for Seattle. So I'd like to use your phone right now, because we're going to do a before survey and then an after survey. So right now, take out your phone and vote on what you think is the case here. Up, down. Okay, we're going to call it. 56% say yes, Amazon is good for Seattle. 44% say no. So we're going to do the same survey at the end, and whichever side has gained, hence the other side will lose, will be declared the winner of this debate this evening. So we're going to compare these to what's going on later. So I want you to meet our debaters. Arguing in favor of the proposition, Amazon is good for Seattle, Maud Dodon, the ex-president of the Seattle Chamber of Commerce and former deputy mayor of Seattle, and Marilyn Strickland, current president and CEO of the Seattle Chamber, and also the former mayor of Tacoma. Please welcome them. And now I'd like you to meet the other side of the debate, the two people that will be arguing against this proposition, urban planner and former mayoral candidate Carrie Moon, artist, attorney, and former mayoral candidate Nikita Oliver. Please welcome them to the stage. All right. Let me tell you what the format's going to be this evening. It's going to be a pretty much a straight-up debate. Each side is going to have a three-minute opening statement from each of the panelists. Then we're going to follow that by about 20 minutes of a discussion where I'll be asking questions and they'll be asking questions of each other. And then they're going to have three-minute closing statements on each side. Then we're going to vote again and we're going to find out who is the winner of this debate. So we're going to begin with an opening statement. But let me say this first of all. I just told you to vote on this and like make up your mind about it. And maybe you were 51% and it was very close for you, but for the next 40 minutes, I'd like you to forget what you think you believe about this and open your ears and open your mind and listen to what these folks have to say and try to be as objective and fair as possible about what their arguments are and balance them and see where you come out at the end, because that's the way a debate should really work. So let's begin by 3-minute opening statements, and we're going to begin with the side in favor of the proposition Amazon is good for Seattle. Maud Dodon, are you going to begin?
Yes, I am.
3 minutes.
Thank you very much, Ross. Thanks, Carrie and Nikita, and thank you, Marilyn, for being my teammate up here. Appreciate it. So this is great. We need to talk about really important issues that are facing our region. But before we want to get going, I think that this proposition of all good, all bad, is a false premise. And so I think it sort of sounds like something our president might tweet. Amazon, great. Amazon, bad. It's sort of that line of thinking. So I'm hoping that tonight we can dig a little deeper than that, because I think it's always nuanced. What we're really here to talk about is the biggest word we just saw on the screen, and that is growth. And there's no question that our recent prosperity, of which Amazon is a huge part, has created benefits and it's created challenges. So I don't think the answer lies in singling out an individual company and placing blame or saying no to growth. The answer lies in coming together as a community to learn from this, to advocate for solutions, and engage with all parts of our community, labor, government, business, and ensure we're really creating that more inclusive economy that doesn't leave anyone behind. So Seattle was already primed for this growth. We've had tremendous numbers of companies moving up here from the Bay Area, with or without Amazon. Amazon's been a huge draw, and it's obviously added significantly. But we're fortunate that we have these hometown success stories. So every major metropolitan area in the country is experiencing this struggle, and they all want what we have, which is that weird situation we find ourselves in. But I believe firmly in my soul that we are the city that can get this right. We are a city that can be a triple bottom line city. We can have a strong economy. We can care for our natural environment and our quality of life. And we cannot leave people behind. But we have work to do. And I'm really hoping that we can make that argument that we need to solve these things, we need to get ahead of it, and we need to work together, I hope with Carrie and Nikita, to help actually address these very challenging issues. So again, thank you for being here tonight, all of you, and look forward to the discussion.
Let's hear the opening statement from the team opposing the proposition. Who wants to start?
I'm first.
Okay, Nikita.
So who doesn't enjoy innovation and convenience? One click of a button and your packages arrive at your door. Or 40,000 more high-paying jobs in the Seattle area for growth. Growth is natural. It's what our bodies do, and our cities are much like our bodies. But there's a few key questions we have to ask ourselves about Amazon and growth in Seattle. The first is, when we think about innovation and convenience, is on whose back is that innovation and convenience built? And oftentimes we don't think about the fulfillment and the workers and the warehouses and what it means for them to work under certain conditions. 40,000 high-paying jobs for whom? Who's actually gaining access to those jobs? And growth in our bodies is important, but overgrowth of our cells is what? Cancer. Overgrowth in Seattle is displacement. So we need to put Amazon in its proper context. When we talk about if a thing is good or bad for us, how do we determine that? Well, I believe it's by metrics. And who determines our metrics in Seattle? Well, our goals. According to the City of Seattle, our goals are as such, and I quote, "We believe in a city where everyone can prosper and have a safe place to call home." The ways in which we define these goals are through racial and gender equity, acknowledging that people of color, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, women, people with disabilities, and others continue to face discrimination in employment, housing, and in public spaces. We do this by looking at workers' rights. We are a city that says we value a $15 an hour minimum wage, protecting against wage theft, safe and sick time, and secure scheduling, which actually doesn't exist in most of the places where the fulfillment centers are, which is where most of the people of color from our city are actually gaining jobs in Amazon. We are talking about affordable housing, but the growth, the rapid growth of Amazon has contributed to growing rents and has pushed a lot of people out of our city. We believe in a thriving local economy, and I quote, the City of Seattle says, "When local businesses succeed and grow, they create local jobs and opportunities." But the way in which Amazon has structured itself actually swallows local jobs and opportunities, is creating a mega company where you have to go through that company to access jobs and opportunities, a company that has a huge gender and racial equity gap. We say we believe in regional approaches. So when we think about our metrics, we have to ask ourselves, is what is good for Seattle good for our region? And if it's not, then we have to rethink, what does it mean for Amazon to be good for us? So what Carrie and I intend to prove to you all by the end of this is that based on the City of Seattle's goals, Amazon cannot be good for us if it's not driving us closer to those goals. And what we'll prove through data and facts is not only is Amazon not driving us closer to those goals, in fact, it stood in opposition to some of those by avoiding unionization, by not paying workers fair wages, by temporary and seasonal jobs that don't have health care, or a $15 an hour minimum wage, or having a huge gender and racial equity gap that they're actually challenging work in Olympia that could lead us towards that. So if Amazon doesn't drive us towards our goals, Amazon cannot be good for us.
Let's go to the next opening statement from Marilyn Strickland, arguing in favor of the proposition Amazon is good for Seattle. Marilyn, three minutes.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. This is my third week on the job as president and CEO of the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber, and I had the honor of serving as mayor of Tacoma for 8 years. So I'm not deeply immersed in Seattle, but as a regional leader, I've been able to watch the growth that's happening throughout our region. And the effects are happening in cities like Tacoma and other surrounding cities. So Amazon has definitely had an effect. Now, we can talk about the jobs that are created, and they are high-paying jobs, and they're also jobs in fulfillment centers. But I view Amazon overall as a net gain to Seattle, as Carrie Moon said when she ran for mayor. Now, one of the things I want to point out here, too, is that the growing pains that we have are actually growing pains that are being experienced throughout the entire country. And as Maud said earlier, a lot of cities around the country and regions, they want what we have. Atlanta, Austin, Denver, New York. These are all cities that are vying for Amazon HQ2. Tacoma, Bellevue, Everett, local communities that wanted to have Amazon HQ2. And I think one of the things that happens sometimes in cities like Seattle that are full of abundance, and admittedly people who aren't doing well, which happens in a lot of metro areas, is that we sometimes take things for granted. You had these major metropolitan areas that had the same challenges that we have without Amazon. Transportation, housing affordability, density. And as we look at why people want Amazon, they know that they want the jobs, which is incredibly important. When we talk about why Amazon is a net plus for Seattle, yes, it's the jobs, and yes, we acknowledge that it's had an impact on housing as well. And my question, and here's my argument. Seattle, yes, Amazon is good for you, but like any other large company, they can be better. So let's think about what they can do to be better. We did not invest in transportation 30 years ago when we had a chance to build out regional transportation. If Amazon had said to us when they first started, we're going to add 40,000 jobs, what are you doing to educate a diverse workforce so they are prepared to have those jobs? If we knew 20 years ago that Amazon was going to have these housing needs, what kind of zoning were we going to have in place so that we could allow multifamily housing in more places and we can meet the needs of housing so that there was an ample supply to help discipline the market? So I believe that Seattle and Amazon are good for each other, and we're here to make that case. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to the final opening argument, and this time from Carrie Moon.
It is great to be here. Thanks, everybody, for coming out for this important conversation. So while we all like to imagine that a rising tide can float all boats, the reality of our region is that the yachts are rising and everybody else is sinking beneath the surface. Amazon has a particular way of operating that is working against the goals Nikita laid out. I want to talk about four key issues. First, a great city must provide excellent public infrastructure, and everybody has to pay their fair share. This is a social contract. Everybody pays, everybody benefits, including corporations. Amazon is not paying their fair share. At the federal level, they paid zero corporate income tax last year on profits of $6 billion. They pay about 11% average federal tax compared to the Standard & Poor average of 23%. So they're paying half their weight. In our state, we can't tell how much they're not paying because all the negotiations are secret. They are outside of public view. We have no idea what tax cuts they have negotiated for themselves, but we do know that they are not paying enough because we see everywhere that we don't have enough. We don't have enough funding for schools. We don't have enough funding for transit. We are in last place as a state for mental health funding because companies like Amazon are starving us of the funding we need to build a great society. Second, Every region's lifeblood is dependent on a strong local economy. Amazon is a net killer of retail jobs and small business jobs. There's tons of analysis out there that shows that for every retail job or industry or warehouse job they create, two have been destroyed. We are losing jobs rapidly in every region across the country. We don't see it in downtown Seattle because we're the beneficiaries of the high-end, high-paid 40,000 Amazon jobs that are here. But every city, town, region across the country is losing small businesses and losing retail jobs, largely because of Amazon as a monopolizing, dominating force taking over the whole retail sector. Third, they are achieving tremendous wealth, but it's not our prosperity, as the other side says. It is funneled to the very few people who own stock in Amazon. In our stock market, the top 10% of folks in our country own 84% of all stocks. Amazon is generating tremendous wealth, but it's on the backs of workers, as Nikita talked about, who are increasingly paid lower and lower wages, who are temp workers, who are contract seasonal workers, who their delivery drivers are basically like Uber drivers, swapping out those jobs from really good union UPS jobs. So they are creating this condition where the wealthy few are gaining tremendous amounts of wealth on the backs of low-wage workers. And finally, if you look at how income inequality works, it's not a mystery. It's not just something that happens to us. We created this. We created it through their not paying their fair share. They're funneling all the income to the people who own stock. They're low paid to their warehouse workers and their drivers. All those conditions together create and amplify wealth inequality, which is what we're seeing in our region. It's not an accident. They are creating it, we are enabling it, and we have to stop.
Okay. So I have a question, one for each side, and then we're going to hear their questions for one another. The opponents of this proposition argue that they win on the metrics. They say that we don't know what Amazon is paying in taxes. They don't know what kind of tax cuts they've gotten. It's a net killer of retail jobs. They say if you just look at the facts, it's demonstrably true that Amazon is not good for Seattle. How do you respond to that attack on the metrics?
Well, I'd like to just offer some metrics in response. So we know that additional investments in the local economy as a result of their direct investment is $38 billion. Now that strikes me as a rather large contribution to this community. That is coming in the form of all the businesses that have benefited from Amazon being here. They have 40,000 employees, so restaurants and retailers and so on surrounding our city have benefited. So it's probably, for every dollar invested by Amazon, it generated an additional $1.4 for the city's economy overall. So that's a big statistic. Secondly, in terms of number of employees, yes, there are 40,000 direct employees by Amazon, but there's another 53,000 other jobs that have been created that are extremely accessible to all kinds of people, and it's in those kinds of jobs I just talked about, construction, healthcare professionals, food, hospitality, et cetera. So I think, you know, it's, and I want to stress again, this isn't, the growth issue we've been debating isn't just about Amazon. There are 31 Fortune 500 companies with engineering and R&D centers in Seattle now, and that is because we've been a tech hub now for a couple of decades, three decades, with Microsoft having and Boeing, honestly, having created the hub. So I think there's another way to look at these numbers.
I would also add some other data points. The city of Seattle's general fund budget was $1.2 billion last year. Businesses who paid B&O tax, utility tax, sales tax, and property tax contributed $500 million to that. Amazon pays those taxes as well. Now, I can't tell you what they're paying or not paying at the federal level, but locally, they contribute mightily to the city of Seattle's general fund, and that pays for basic services, police, fire, library, and human services.
Carrie and Nikita, you disagree with the notion that Amazon is good for Seattle. You say you've got this argument on the metrics. So my question for you is, I don't think Amazon's going anywhere tomorrow. What could the company or the city or the state do that would make you agree with the proposition Amazon is good for Seattle?
I'd like to start by first questioning one of their metrics. I want to point out that, yes, every corporation does pay taxes in our state, but in our state, we went from being 11th to 36th for taxes as a percentage of total income. Or by another metric, out of 50 states, we are ranked 41st for how much tax we collect from businesses based on our GDP. So we are not asking them to pay our fair share. So yeah, of course they pay taxes, but it's simply not enough, and we see those impacts everywhere.
So to the question, what could be done that would make you agree that Amazon is good for Seattle, by government or by Amazon itself?
So there's a lot of, you know, you can imagine what a great corporation could do that actually was beneficial for everybody. If they paid benefits, stock bonuses, high wages, bonuses to all their warehouse workers, instead of treating them as a cost to be managed and reducing their wages, that would be beneficial. If they paid back every B&O tax without asking for any tax breaks into our city, we could have billions more in our state and city coffers. If they had a commitment to racial and gender equity in their workforce, if they were transparent about pay equity and shared the data and showed, oops, we have some problems here, we're going to fix them. If they actually believed in hiring from the local community instead of importing workers from outside places, these are all things Amazon could be doing if they were a good corporate partner, if they were a good citizen, if they believed in the well-being of everyone. They don't do any of those things because they have one goal, maximizing shareholder return and creating wealth for the people at the very top of the pyramid.
We're going to move next to the questions that the teams have for one another, and we'll begin with the team opposed to the proposition Amazon is good for Seattle. What is your question for the team that's arguing in favor of this?
So we'll start first by talking about goals. So Seattle says that its goal has many goals around racial and gender equity, that we want to build an economy that is truly accessible for all and provides prosperity for all, that we're investing in our children and ensuring they can gain access to these high-paying jobs. But it is no question that the high-paying jobs that we've cited are not accessible to our youth, are not accessible to Black and Brown community, and are not accessible to women and queer folks. So I would like to know, based on the goals of Seattle, because to determine if Amazon is good for Seattle has to be driving us, be a part of the corporations, the organizations, the individuals, the communities that drive us closer to our goals of being the progressive city we dream to be. How do you actually see, without, and maybe even citing where the numbers come from, breaking them down, disaggregating them, how do you actually see Amazon actively contributing to those goals outside of philanthropy?
I'm happy to start, and Marilyn, please. Amazon's doing a lot to try to connect to people who live here to give them jobs. So I think there's a misunderstanding about what they do, because you know I have the opportunity to see this in action. They're not a company that actually does a lot of broadcasting this information, which possibly could be done differently, and I think it would help. But for example, they have this program in their warehouse called Career Choice, which is basically about trying to advance people out of warehouse work. So they bring the community college system right into the warehouse, and they train people to get on to other careers. And those are pathways to careers that will give them higher wages, and they're pathway jobs, so they don't just end with one job, they continue. So they've been reaching out to places like the Chamber, but to other places as well, to say, we want to partner with other companies so that they can come attract talent from our warehouses to create this advancement. So I think that's an example of something that is really unusual in corporations to do that kind of work. Another one I'd cite, and it's, I think, really an important one, is Fair Start. So Fair Start, which I think is a beloved institution in this community, has done this wonderful job of taking people who otherwise might not have opportunity, giving them training, giving them a job in the hospitality industry, and then seeing them prosper. And I think it's got a wonderful track record of success in this. And Amazon has given Fair Start 25,000 square feet in its headquarters. They've created 5 new restaurants. They've dramatically expanded because of Amazon's generosity. It's a good example of something they've done in partnership with community. And I guess another example, which is a slightly different category, is the work that they've done to try to help with the homelessness crisis that we're experiencing. And I want to stress this because I think a lot of people don't know this. They had properties where they had empty, vacant space, and they took them and they rehabbed them to create homeless shelters. And I have the data, I could go through it, but literally hundreds of families, I think 700 children, were housed in that facility. They're putting actually a permanent homeless shelter into their headquarters building, as I'm sure you know, that will actually remain there, and they will support that for the duration because of their concern on this topic. And I think they continue to try to find ways to broaden the pipeline. They have a new apprenticeship program that they've been working on to bring different kinds of talent into computer tech jobs and so on within the corporate headquarters. So I could go on and on, but these are the kinds of examples that I think demonstrate a commitment on the part of the employer to reaching into the community.
Does your team have a question for the opponents?
I wanted to add to that, but can I do that?
You have a question?
No, that's okay, moderator.
Oh, sorry.
That's right. I'll bring it up later.
We let them ask you a question, and now you can ask them a question.
Okay. So one question I have is, are there any large employers here in Seattle right now who get it right and do all the things that you described for inclusion and equity and the goals that Seattle has set out as a city?
I would say there's not one corporation that does everything right, but there are models everywhere. If you look at co-ops, co-ops share profits, they share decision authority, they share the profitability with all their workers, and there's lots of co-ops, including Madison Market.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the company?
Madison Market is a co-op, one of many different co-ops. Boeing has a lot of unionized workers who have family wage jobs that are lasting and secure jobs. They are still a big employer in this region, and the amount of the wealth that they create through family wage jobs with pensions and job security is a net beneficial good for our region. Any others?
Yeah, I would also add, it's not necessarily, this question is not necessarily about what other corporations do we see doing as well as Amazon. There is no corporation in Seattle that is comparable to Amazon that's taken up as much space currently within the booming tech industry, that has created as much wealth for itself within the tech industry, and that is doing something that is essentially creating its own mechanism for distribution of resources through the internet model. So to try to find a comparable corporation is challenging, but this is why I keep pushing us back to our metrics, our goals. What are we trying to achieve in Seattle, and how has Amazon intentionally stood in opposition to that? It has lobbied at Olympia to stop the changing of a law since 1943 that hasn't been changed, where the goal to change that law was to ensure that women had more access to jobs. And the reason they've opposed that law is because they're afraid of what could happen with preemption. If cities can create tighter regulations than the state can, then within our city they'd be forced to have to pay higher wages and think about different credentials and how they hire. The second thing is they've opposed unionization time and time again, which we know is a way in which workers can ensure that they have access to good working conditions. And some of these pipelines that you all are talking about, they don't exist. So in particular, the warehouse, the career choice, the way in which career choice vests is depends on the sort of job you have in the warehouse and how much time you are there. We know these fulfillment centers have very high turnover because the working conditions are poor, they pay less than $15 an hour, and they don't provide benefits. So as a result, workers leave before their access to benefits even vest. So we can give all these credentials as to things that Amazon is saying they're doing, but in practice, they don't turn into outcomes for the people who most need access to those jobs because they're set up in a way that people cannot stick around, or they're not able to remain in that position because it doesn't serve their families, it doesn't work in a housing market that regionally is continuing to go up, and they aren't the sort of jobs that actually do allow you promotion within a company that says that it wants to have people there, but it's not providing the pathways to stay.
Would you like to respond?
Well, of course, I don't work within the body of Amazon, so I know what I know from sort of public data sources, and I'm kind of curious as to how you have drawn these conclusions.
So Carrie and I did a lot of research, and one of which included meeting with warehouse workers who are currently in fulfillment facilities to ask them, how does the vesting of healthcare, access to career choice, and other opportunities within Amazon actually work, and how are wages determined? And we were told that because of the high turnover, because of the seasonal and temporary jobs, most people do not make it in Amazon. Your healthcare benefits vest at a year. Most people don't stay long enough because the working conditions are so poor, and the way in which they drive productivity ensures that people leave before they get to the point where those benefits vest, so Amazon never has to invest in those workers, which are predominantly people of color.
Okay, I've got a question for both teams right now that I'd like you to answer. One thing we can't deny is that a lot of other cities would like to be Seattle and would like to have Amazon here. They're bidding on it furiously. There are very few cities that have walked away from that. Knowing what you know, what would your advice be for those cities that are bidding on Amazon? And I'll start with the team in favor of the proposition Amazon is good for Seattle. If you were talking to, and maybe someone has called up the chamber and said, we're thinking of bidding on Amazon, what do you tell them?
So I will do it from the perspective of a mayor who made a bid for Amazon HQ2. And as I said earlier, it was one of those situations where it was a twice-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have that type of opportunity come your way from an economic development standpoint. And when I look at my colleagues around the country, the mayors of Denver, Atlanta, New York City, and these other LA, communities that are large, having rapid growth, and facing some of the challenges that we had, they still said to themselves, we want what they have. And so when we... What was your question again? I'm sorry, I was just talking too much.
What's your advice for cities that want to bid on Amazon?
So my advice to a city is this, and I go back to one of my original statements. If we had known 20 years ago that we would add this many jobs through one company, we would have said to ourselves, is our education system recruiting and training the employees so they are prepared to take that work, so that people locally here can get access to that work? And another question that came up during this debate was, we talked about equity and inclusion and lack of female representation of people of color in technology. That's not unique to Amazon, and I don't say that proudly. The tech sector needs to do a better job. More people of color and women on their boards, and hiring people of color who aren't just working in their fulfillment centers. Yes, there is a dignity in all work, but we want more people of color in all the positions throughout the entire organization. I don't think Amazon anticipated the type of growth they had. So to a fellow mayor, I would say, make sure you have a transportation system. Make sure you have zoning in all of your neighborhoods that can actually accommodate growth and don't protect and make multifamily housing illegal in most of your neighborhoods. Do what you can to make sure you're working with the university and community college system so that people do have the ability to vie for some of these jobs that pay more. And to the workforce development folks, think about working with Amazon so we can talk about progression from folks. If someone wants to stay in the warehouse for a long time, good on them. But if someone has the opportunity to move into a higher wage job, let's find ways to do that. Be prepared with transportation, housing, workforce development, and find a way for this to work. And learn from some of the things that Seattle maybe didn't get right so that you too can, so that you can get it right.
And the same question to the side opposing the proposition Amazon is good for Seattle. Maybe you've gotten phone calls from people in other parts of the country that are bidding on it. What do you tell them? What's your advice for cities that want to have Amazon?
I think we both will answer
Carrie
this.
Moon,
so,
go ahead.
First of all, transparency. These secret negotiations are crap because they're pitting cities against one another in a race to the bottom. Have the negotiations in public. Make the cities share what they're offering and make Amazon share what they're asking. Second, ensure they pay their fair share for growth. We did not understand how much Amazon was going to grow. We thought Amazon was going to be 6,000 people. But we've had tremendous demands on our school system, our transit system, and we have to make sure that if we were doing this now, make sure that they pay their fair share. Third, community benefit agreements. There's tremendous wealth being generated through the development construction projects as well as ongoing operation of their buildings, but make sure that that goes to everybody. So put in agreements in place between the community, Amazon, and the city to ensure that they are hiring local, local procurement, they're following goals for minority and women business operators. So the city needs to make sure they enforce that. Finally, affordable housing protection. We have a terrible problem with gentrification and displacement. Every person in this room knows it. We should have gotten ahead of this with building more affordable housing and protecting the affordable housing we do have.
And I would add, for any HQ2 city to learn not just from where Seattle could have been ahead of the curve, but also look at the ways in which, again, Amazon has stood in opposition to us getting ahead of the curve, fought things like impact fees, corporate head tax, all things that would help us invest in infrastructure and housing, but also look at the ways in which they pushed our last election, not just because I was a candidate, but intentionally invested $800,000 in the campaign of the candidate least likely to push for the sorts of taxes and regulations that would force them and other companies
to have
to invest.
Who was that candidate?
That was our current mayor, Jenny Durkin.
Can I respond to
yes.
some of that? Because I think... you have pointed out a couple of things that they may have had some dialogue with the city about that they weren't supportive of. But on the other hand, Amazon contributed mightily, as did all major employers, to passing Sound Transit 3 levy. They've basically helped to fund that campaign. And that is huge in terms of our growth. So in
but
addition
to
that,
think about who public transportation values, or who's valued in that. Sound Transit 3, most of the things that have been built or invested in right now in our city are closely related to the urban core of our city. People who most need access to transportation are currently being pushed out of our urban core. So that's about Amazon's current workers, not the ones who are already living here.
That's actually, I don't agree. I think that it's a regional transportation system that connects all kinds of people to urban centers, and it's not just Seattle. And that's the goal of ST3, is to get out of Seattle. So secondly, I'd say Amazon was very engaged and very supportive of the paid family leave law in the state of Washington, which is one of the groundbreaking laws that we've developed in the probably last three decades in our state. I think we're all very proud of that. It's great for families, it's great for small business, and Amazon spent a lot of time in Olympia working on that issue. They care deeply about it. Third, they have signed up and been a very active participant in a gender pay equity initiative of the chambers called 100% Talent. They were one of the founding partners in that. They supported marriage equality. I don't know if you remember, Jeff Bezos was like the first person to sign in a line and really created momentum for businesses to join on marriage equality. And then lastly, I guess I'd say they have been at the table and certainly engaged with the chamber. We've supported the chamber $4 billion of local levies and $54 billion for Sound Transit. So this is not an anti-tax institution. It's actually trying to say, yes, we need to critically invest in housing and transit and so on, and they're making the investments and they're supporting them.
We're going to move on now to the final section, where each side will have closing statements of 3 minutes. We're concluding this section of it, and we're going to go to closing statements right now.
What about the other question?
I think we're out of time on that. They've each had a chance to ask one question of the other, and rather than go to another question, I'd like to go to closing statements right now and then have the vote. So first of all, we'll start with the proponents. What would your who would like to start with closing statements?
Okay, so. I actually think there's a lot of work we can do together on these questions. And one thing I'd like to suggest right out of the gate is that we do have a housing shortage in this city, and I'd love to get after that because, as Marilyn just said, 65% of our land area, it's illegal to have multifamily dwellings of any kind. And I'd love to work with you guys to try to change that at City Council. That's a wrong-headed proposition. In Portland, it's 2% of the land area that can't be multifamily. So let's get after that, because I think we need more housing in the city and in the region. So yes, managing through growing pains is incredibly hard. And have we gotten it perfect so far? Absolutely not. We've been slow out of the chute. We have been slow in decision making. We're playing catch up in a gigantic way. And many of the things we've talked about, it'll take a decade for us to totally get there. But we do have something very unique in Seattle, and that is a very engaged and thoughtful community. where every newcomer feels his pride and ownership in the city's direction and its soul. And I think we have a responsibility as citizens here to really engage all of our community in shaping this and addressing these challenges and not just blaming. I think that's a very important thing. So any major employer is going to affect the place that they're located. And the hope of any city is that that's a net positive. And when you look at what Amazon has done with its urban campus, which is groundbreaking to make this huge a commitment to a center city, leveraging public transportation, activating a neighborhood, being a magnet for other jobs, this is really the new model. And Amazon led the charge in this move. Was it too much for us to absorb right away? It's been tough. But they've also transformed lives. And I'd just like to give you some examples. Crystal Ashley is a military spouse from the Olympic Peninsula who struggled to find stable work as she moved cross-country with her husband. When Crystal and her husband moved back to Seattle 5 years ago, she landed a role at Amazon as a veteran and military spouse recruiter for operations and customer service positions. So that's an impact on a life, and there are dozens and thousands of examples of that. The 300 families I mentioned earlier, including the 700 children who've had a safe place to sleep because of their partnership with Amazon and Mary's Place, and the hundreds more who will be able to stay at the permanent shelter in the building. The 10,000 employees who have gone to the Amazon Career Choice Program, perhaps there's employees you met with that felt differently, but those 10,000 employees are on to a better life, and I think that's significant. And 95% of that tab for their education was picked up by the company. And all of us who are non-Amazon employees, we've seen a collective $17 billion increase in personal income as a result of Amazon's direct investments. So I think all in all, these are transformational things that will last in our region for a very long time.
Okay, let's hear the first closing statement from the side in opposition. Who would like to be the first person?
Okay, Carrie, I'm going to just summarize. Here's what the other side should have proved to win this debate. Number one, they needed to show that Amazon's wealth generation is broadly beneficial across all sectors of society. Instead, we see Amazon shareholders benefiting, but our working class families are being gentrified out and have stagnating wages. We are losing secure family wage jobs in retail and industry. We have Amazon replacing them with low paying and temporary seasonal jobs with no benefits. They needed to show that the new professional jobs that we are creating in Seattle are benefiting regional residents and are available to our local kids, increasing their opportunity and economic security. Instead, we see local kids can't get trained for the good tech jobs because of how expensive school is, and they are left to Amazon's low-paying warehouse jobs and gig delivery jobs. We see low-income folks being displaced to the suburbs. We see a racial and gender pay gap in tech, and we see a worsening racial wealth gap in our region. They would have needed to show that Amazon is investing in the shared physical and social infrastructure we all need to thrive, like good public schools and transit and equity in access to technology. Instead, we see Amazon secrecy preventing scrutiny of their regional tax breaks. So we don't really know how much they're not paying in taxes. But we do see the result, criminal underfunding of schools and all the problems of growth that we are not keeping up with. They would have needed to show that there's a robust and dynamic competition in the market and thriving local, regional, commercial strips in all the suburbs and all the neighborhoods around Seattle. They would have needed to show that there were an increase in startups, but instead we have a 25% decline in the number of new businesses starting and closing retail, empty storefronts everywhere in our region. They would have needed to show improving standard of living and strengthen communities and expanded economic security across our region. Instead, 50% of us live on less than $50,000 a year. We see housing prices spiraling out of reach. We see loss of affordable housing. We see more and more of us trapped in apartments we can't afford, but we can't afford to move. And we see displacement, gentrification, and unconscionable homelessness. This is not a region that is prospering. This is a region that is creating tremendous wealth for a lucky few people on the backs of everybody else. Clearly, they have not come close to proving their case that Amazon is good for Seattle. We see the overall wealth is growing, yes, but look regionally, and it's easy to see who is benefiting and who is not. Amazon's particular way of operating as a corporation is worsening all of these conditions. As decent people, we cannot sit by and watch our region decline into a polarized society of extreme wealth and extreme poverty.
Okay. Marilyn Strickland, your closing argument.
Amazon is not solely responsible for every social problem in Seattle or the metropolitan region. The challenges that we see facing communities of color have been ingrained in this country for a long, long time. Civil rights still remains a fight today. So you can't attribute all those things from institutional racism to redlining to lack of lending to lack of intergenerational wealth to one company. Amazon has been good for Seattle, and it's been good for the region. And when we talk about people benefiting from wealth, yes, there are wealthy people in this region. But here's what else Amazon has done for the metropolitan Seattle area. It's part of the brand of Seattle, like Microsoft, like Starbucks, like Nordstrom, like Alaska Airlines, like Boeing. Amazon is part of that identity. It brings tourists here because they want to come visit this really cool place. That's dollars in city coffers that help pay for basic essential services. They pay property tax, sales tax, utility tax, B&O tax, and they are one of the contributors to the $500 million a year that go into the city of Seattle's general fund. Do they get it right every time? No, they don't, but no company does. We were not ready for their growth, but now we have an opportunity to manage it the right way. I am really willing and able to work with you all to find out how we do that. And also, too, let's be realistic. Amazon is a great company. It is a global brand. And anytime a local company starts, we hope they are successful. They just became wildly successful. And every single person who uses their product is complicit in their success. So I will end by saying this.
Okay. And the final closing argument from Nikita Oliver.
I want to remind us of the two words that appeared on that stage. Growth and gentrification. Why do we allow large corporations to continue to exasperate and exploit historical injustices? And then say, well, it's always been that way, so this is just how it is. It's time that Seattle really be the progressive city that we say we want to be and really put regulations on corporations that build our city to achieving its goals. The brand of Seattle is not those corporations that were named. The brand of Seattle is Jarrell Davis, is the small business down on Rainier and Henderson, is the small business in the Central District, is Rainier Beach High School, places that are going to be forever changed as gentrification displaces and pushes out the people who make Seattle the city that it is. This is not an anti-Amazon debate. This is a pro-Seattle achieving its goals of equality and equity. And any corporation, not just Amazon, that is not contributing to us, driving us toward achieving those goals, is not making us the progressive city that we tout ourselves to be. So for me, what determines whether or not Amazon is good for Seattle, not just is Amazon good, because sure, you can make the numbers sound great. Is Amazon good is about whether or not it is joining us in our fight for racial and gender equity, whether or not it is joining us in protecting workers' rights and fair pay, healthcare, access to housing in our entire region, and philanthropy is not enough. I will not accept a permanent shelter as an answer to our housing crisis. And whether or not Amazon is actually contributing to thriving local businesses, when we look at the model of Amazon, internet commerce, it intentionally pushes out other markets to ensure that it becomes the only market from which we can pay. Sure, I bought a laptop cover on Amazon. The truth of the matter is I couldn't find one anywhere else to buy because Amazon is creating its own private market. So we have to ask ourselves if that kind of corporation is the sort of corporation that benefits us achieving our goals, that makes sure that young folks of color and low-income families can stay in our city. We need all corporations that want to call Seattle home to invest in that vision and help us achieve those goals.
Okay, in a moment, we're going to have you begin the discussion for 5 minutes about what you heard, what surprised you, what did you learn, did it move you at all? But first, let's give a group hand of applause to all of our debaters on stage. Maud Dodon, Carrie Moon, Nikita Oliver, and Marilyn Strickland. Wonderful job from you all. So we're going to find out, go back to the last survey that we did, which we'll compare to the survey we're going to do next. Let's take a look at it. 56% voted yes, 44% voted no. Now, we want to find out how this debate changed or did not change your mind. Let's do the second survey and have you vote right now on the proposition. Do you agree or do you disagree with Amazon is good for Seattle? Whoa. Wow. Everybody done? Okay. 56% of you voted yes in the initial survey. 50% of you voted this time. That means that the side which argued against this initiative is the winner. But, let's point out how close it was. It actually got closer than it was the first time around. And to our winning team, and we have these extra special gifts that we have for them. We have KUOW socks. These are going to cost you like an $80 pledge next week. So we're giving them the KUOW socks and for the winning team, also KUOW speakers, the little automatic speakers. And for the losing team, also the socks, because you got to have good socks. So now that we know what the winner is, thank you so much for coming to our inaugural That's Debatable event. If you want to learn more about how Amazon is good and less than good, check out our podcast called Primed, What Happens When Seattle Comes to Your Town. And also, special thanks to the Egyptian for hosting us and to the KOW events team that helped put this on. We really appreciate it. And to my colleague, Lisa Wang. Lisa, get well soon. We look forward to your return. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, to recap, this event started with 56% of the audience for the proposition that Amazon is good for Seattle, 44% against. The final survey showed a 50-50 split, thus the team against the proposition won. This first KUOW That's Debatable event took place at the SIF Cinema Egyptian on March 7th. Being there in the audience was interactive in surprising ways you can't hear in a podcast. I encourage you to attend one of our future debates. Find out more at kuow.org/engage. Thanks for streaming Speakers Forum from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. Tune in again soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, I love your show.
Let's go to our next call.
Okay. Hello, you're on the Heartline.